This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
At 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I'm one of the greatest broadcasters on planet Earth.
And I know that's hearsay here. It's
not hearsay, it's not heresy. Hearsay.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hey. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to ENN on this Thursday evening in the Tri-State. It's 6.02 p.m. Let's start off by saying good evening to Michael.
Oh, cry me a river, Michael K. with an E. Clown. There's no E.
And good evening to Don.
I love Vincent Damfus.
Beautiful. That was beautifully, beautifully.
Peter, can I jump in for 1 second?
Oh, please, you can.
All right. So Susan Slusser covers the Giants for the San Francisco Chronicle. She's great, okay? She just tweeted this out. Now, we've talked about the Dodgers are using an opener instead of a 20-game winner. The opener decision came, this is according to Dave Roberts, the manager of the Dodgers. The opening decision came, quote, from the tippy top of the organization on down, close quote. Roberts was asked if he gets more than one vote. He says, no, I only get one vote, with a smile. So there's maybe 8 nerds and 1 Dave Roberts. So that finally we get the truth. Everybody wants to jump on managers. There's the truth. The organization's making him go with an opener when he has a 20-game winner, fully rested, that he could start. There's the truth, everybody. Please wake up to what's happening. This is the real world.
But the problem is, though, people hate it.
They hate it, but don't put it on the manager.
Right,
he knows
right.
The rules of engagement, how he got the job, because if it was all Dave Roberts, he should have been fired 3 times the way he lost World Series games. But those weren't his decisions, and it would have been disingenuous to fire him.
Absolutely correct. It's crazy. Absolutely crazy. All right, guys. Everyone bear with us. We haven't talked about it much today. But let's at least play you some of the Kyrie Irving audio. If you have not heard it yet, don't worry. We are not going to have a vaccine debate, but we are going to play you when one of the most talented basketball players on planet Earth decides to miss out on a season where he's the favorite to win a championship with 2 of the other best players in the league. And it's happening in our hometown, in Brooklyn, New York. We do have to address it. So let's hear from Kyrie on IG Live late last night about choosing what's best for him.
Because it's going to continue to revolve around this and that. And, yo, you're going to lose out on money. And you're going to lose out on this. Like, so what? It's not about the money, baby. It's not always about the money. It's about choosing what's best for you. You think I really want to lose money? You think I really want to give up on my dream to go after a championship? You think I really just want to give up my job? You think I really just want to sit at home and not go after the things with my teammates that I've been able to grow with, to learn that it takes sacrifice in this space?
Let's keep going. Kyrie did not expect the New York City vaccine mandate.
If you felt uncomfortable going into the season when you were promised that you would have exemptions or that you didn't have to be forced to get the vaccine, you know, this wasn't an issue before the season started. This wasn't something that I foresaw coming where I prepared for it. And, you know, I had a chance to strategize on what was going to be best for me and my family. I came into the season thinking that I was just going to be able to play ball, you know, be able to use my talent to continue to inspire, influence people in the right way. You know, like putting this on me is just like, why are you putting it on me?
Well, and lastly, last piece, we'll finish it out. No, Kyrie defending himself and talking about using his own voice.
I had to stop running away from using my voice and using my platform to speak on what's true and what's mine. You know, nobody's going to hijack my voice. Nobody's going to take the power away from me that I have for speaking on these things. And don't believe that I'm retiring. Don't believe that, you know, I'm going to give up this game for a vaccine mandate.
One thing I'll say, I'm absolutely glad that he's using his voice. I mean, it's weird. I don't think anyone was wanting to hijack his voice, but when someone of his level of fame and popularity and influence does something major and isn't talking about it, people are going to start speculating. So that's why it's good that you didn't let the narrative go that way. And whether we agreed with it, whether we thought he made sense or not, Listen, yesterday I said you can't be voiced to the voiceless without using your voice. I'm glad he used his voice.
And sometimes these players have to realize, whether you like it or not, forget about being a role model. You become somebody where it's hard to be private. It's hard to keep things to yourself. I think you trade a lot of that away for your fame. So people are going to care about why you do things. You're not the average person. You're just not. And I think fame, you have to understand, you trade that in. You trade some of the privacy away. Should it be that way? Probably not. But, Peter, right, that's the reality, is that when you are one of the best basketball players on the planet, you're on a team that people believe can win a championship, you just can't go about your business like an everyday person.
Well, I've got to apologize here.
Interesting.
All right? We try to steer this ship to things of interest, and I believe this is interesting, but for the wrong reasons, and it's very polarizing, and there are people that are dug in on each side. And we have found that when we talk at length about this, it gets ugly, and it gets nasty, and it's not worth it. And I got to tell you another thing. He bores me. He's not interesting to me anymore. He is so self-important, and he thinks that his words come from up high. They don't to me. He doesn't make sense half the time. I think that was a meandering gobbledygook that he sent out there. Yeah, he gave his take, but he didn't really give his take. He feels for the people that have lost their jobs for mandates. Didn't mention the 707,000 people that have died in the country and the millions around the world from the virus. None of that. Listen, Kyrie, great. You have lost me. I'm not going to waste my energy or my anger or my angst on you. And I think that our listeners are going to be appreciative, too. They're tired of it, too. And forget about the media. I think the Brooklyn Nets fans are tired of the act. It just seems like an act to me. It almost seems like theater. I'm not in for it anymore. I don't think we're getting anything legitimate from this guy. He's not really telling us his truth. He's walking around it, tiptoeing around it. He just doesn't come out and say it because he doesn't respect us. And frankly, I don't want to hear from him anymore. I don't care what he has to say. I'm done. I'm done.
And for those that defend him, then explain to me why bridges were burned in Cleveland, in Boston. I mean, this is one of the great players in the game. And no matter where he goes, there seems to be a problem. Can't get along with LeBron James. Still don't really know, Peter, what went down in Boston.
No, not particularly.
To the point where we thought it was overdoing it, but what strategy by Brooklyn to go out and get Harden? Because they probably knew at some point there was going to be an absence of Kyrie for whatever reason. So no matter what, I'm not making any kind of stand either way. The point is that he's not available.
Really? And Kyrie, you be you.
Well, listen, he did do that. I'm trying
really,
not
what'd
to get,
you get out of it, Peter. What'd you get out of it?
Honestly, not a lot. I just don't. I'm trying to be mindful of beating him up. You know, I think there are times when people don't do something that's in the moment. We all find it terrible. I mean, the fact is, I don't think we're going to change our take on his stance here, or most people will not change their stance, but we also don't know the man he continues to go on to be. And so there may be a time we look back and we go, hey, some of those moments there were ill-advised, but it was all him figuring it out on his way to being a really influential person and doing really good things. Because there have been times, listen, Muhammad Ali's stances, and these are very different stances, right? And I feel differently about Ali's stance against the war than I do against Kyrie's in regards to the vaccine. But the fact of the matter is, if you polled people about Ali at the time, he was hated in this country for it. So while I do not agree with him, and I thought it was last night, he basically kind of meandered and was like, woe is me, why is everyone upset about what I do? I don't want to kill the kid because I think he's still figuring it out, and I hope he gets it right.
No, I get it, but I think he's kind of fueling your opinion. Because that's what happens in the world now. I'm going to build up these barriers that if you dare criticize me, then you're a bad guy. So if I criticize him, that means that I don't believe in what he believes. I don't want to be stuck to that. I'm just some yo-yo sports guy who wants to see him play. And no matter what the cause is, Peter, it stops him from playing. And if it's not this, it's going to end up being something else. So that's just the frustrating thing, is his availability is being taken away, and this time it's about the vaccine. What's it going to be next year?
That's my point. It's just boring to me now. He's boring.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
He's boring to me. I'm done with the narrative. Listen, be you, Kyrie. I know you've done a lot of great things in the world, but you know, you've done some things that are hard to figure out, and you don't articulate them in a way that we can understand. You just you talk in this way that you talk around things, and if anybody dares disagree with you, as Don said, we're the bad guy. There are a lot of athletes like that. They go on the defensive. There are a lot of politicians like that. That if you disagree with something, then you're the devil incarnate. I don't even want to go there. It's a minefield. Kyrie, you be you. I'm done.
I'll
enjoy you playing.
The part I think he's really missed on, and he said this in the IG, he said a version of, I don't know why people always make such a big deal about the things that I do. And I really think, you know, when he's older, he'll do some self-reflection and go, oh, I do get why people made a big deal about me.
But because Peter, one thing about him, he's really smart.
I know.
People make a big deal out of famous people when they do things.
No, but this has nothing to do with being smart, though. People's being able to view themselves. I have conversations with people in my family who I love, who I say basic constructive things to them, I believe. And it's always, why are you attacking me? It's always about people's view of themselves is not clear. I've been there. I've had a time in my life when my view of myself was not clear. I thought I was one way. Turned out I realized later I was not what I thought. And I think Kyrie believes everything he's doing is righteous and doesn't realize that in moments when you repeatedly leave a team and create a stir, there is something self-serving going on. And I don't think he's seeing it clearly.
But the fact that he doesn't know why people make a big deal out of him, he's one of the greatest basketball players who ever lived. He's playing in New York City. What do you think they're making a big deal of him? If he was playing curling in the Olympics, nobody would care. So, of course, he should know why people make a big deal out of him. I think he knows that very well. He might not know himself, as you're saying, but he knows why we're making a big deal of him. That's disingenuous.
I don't know.
He's in the spotlight, Peter.
No, listen, I hear you. I don't know that I can judge it as disingenuous. You may be right, but maybe there's a chance it's not disingenuous.
But there's like that, oh, shucks, why do people care about, why can't they just let me be? Because you're famous, Kyrie. That's why.
Well, and it's important to know that you're famous, yes, because you're very talented, but you're also rich because a lot of people spend a lot of money on you, and they care about you. They're invested in you. And, yeah, you should. That does seem pretty obvious to me, too. I feel you. Now, speaking of things no one cares about, don't know if you guys are aware that the United States had a critical qualifier last night if they are trying to play in the World Cup next year, and it may have taken an own goal, but in the end, a game winner in the 66th minute and a 2-1 victory over Costa Rica. Andrew Gunling, how bad a shape would this team have been with a loss to Costa Rica?
Well, I mean, they wouldn't have been out of anything. This was the sixth of 14 qualifiers that they have, so there's still a lot of road ahead of them. But, yeah, I mean, there would have been a ton of pressure on the coach. I know that. There's a huge section of the fan base that does not love him, that doesn't think he probably should have gotten the job in the first place. So there would have been pressure on him.
And this is a home game, too.
Yeah, it was in Columbus, Ohio last night. And they went down in the first minute. Costa Rica scored 60 seconds in, so they had a little bit of a hill to climb, but they got it done, so good job.
I got to tell you, I want to really dig this sport. I want to, because I respect Peter. I respect Andrew. How do you not just credit a goal? That's not an own goal, Peter. That's not an own goal. An own goal is when a guy mistakenly puts the puck or the ball in his own net. It ricochets off the goalpost, off of the goalie that's standing a foot away in, how do you not give the goal to the shooter?
I said that to Andrew. It's such a small thing, but it bugs me. I played in one intramural soccer game. This, of course, I have a personal axe to grind on. I played in one intramural soccer game during college. I filled in on a friend's team, and it was like the good intramural league. Keep in mind, I didn't play any soccer in high school. I hadn't played soccer since elementary school. And at Maryland, which has an incredible soccer program, the good intramural league, pretty good. Yeah. So I play in a game totally above my skis, have no business playing. I'm dying. I'm practically dry heaving. I can barely get through this game. And late in the game, I end up just trying to blast it from like 35 yards. It deflects off a player's head who was not trying to head it. It just ended up deflecting off their head, went in the goal. And my teammate said, own goal. I said, no. An own goal is when someone tries to play the ball, misplays it into their own net. If I bounce it off of someone's head, I want the goal. And last night, Don, it was the power of the shot hitting the post, then the goaltender, then going in. That's the shooter's goal.
Tim Weah? Is that how you say his last name?
Weah.
All right. It was the quality of Tim Weah's shot that created the goal. Now, the one that you described, all right, that's a fluke.
Mm-mm.
And if it's a fluky play, that, the quality, the velocity of the shot, and how it went caromed off, you could say maybe that wasn't exactly what he intended, but clearly he deserves credit for that. Now, if the goalie was 20 feet away and he accidentally kicked it while he was trying to pick it up and it went into the net,
exactly,
then it had nothing to do with the shooter. But in this case, come on. You played yourself a little bit here.
Well, and also, no, you know why I don't like it? Is it also, frankly, it cheapens the U.S. win because you hear about it and go, oh, the game winner was an own goal. And then you watch it and you go, no, that was a goal. Andrew, you would agree. You watch that and you go, that's a goal they completely earned.
Yeah, I don't think it cheapens their win, and I don't think anybody would view it that way.
When someone is described, if they thought it was an absolute own goal, you don't think, U.S. got a win, but it required an own goal for them to get it?
I mean, I guess not every own goal is created equal.
There you go. That's a fair
essentially
point.
Like that one, I don't think anybody would look at that one last night and say they didn't earn it. But yeah, there are some that are flat out fluky. There's no question about it. That one is much more gray area.
Let's move on quickly. We don't have much time. Of course, we're getting into Rangers pregame next, followed by the Rangers home opener coming up here on 98.7 ESPN at 7 o'clock. The Washington football team has done it again. Find a way to completely embarrass themselves and alienate their fan base, but this time around the most sacred of things. The football team announced today that they're retiring Sean Taylor's number 21 jersey this Sunday. This is the third time they've ever retired a number, guys. Sammy Baugh and Bobby Mitchell are the only retired numbers in the history of this organization. Sean Taylor, of course, was tragically killed in a home invasion in 2007. He would have gone on to be one of the greatest safeties who ever played the game. And he is truly, guys, I can tell you as a fan, kind of the only sacred thing that has occurred post the glory years of the 80s. He's the only player that people really hold on to as all-time iconic. So the fact that they announced this 3 days before the game... And with the backdrop of people demanding that the team open up their investigation to the public, everyone thinks this is a distraction tactic, and it looks terrible.
Of course, because, Michael, when do they ever announce a jersey retirement? The week of the jersey retirement.
It's insulting.
It's always,
we know why
it's
doing
always
it.
Announced the year before. First of all, as you said, he died in 2007. He deserved this a long time ago. Okay, it's not the first time we've had to wait in any sport for somebody's jersey or number to be retired or put into the Ring of Honor or whatever. But when the heck is it ever announced? The week of? Oh, the Thursday before a Sunday game?
Now, Sean Taylor's family should say, thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah, exactly. We're not going to be used as a distraction.
They're
as a
using
shield.
This as an okey-doke. Don't be concerned about the emails that you didn't see.
Yeah.
Sean Taylor's number's retired.
I've inquired, and people are saying that's not the case. And this was already planned. I just don't know how it would have been announced this late.
How could you have it planned and announce it 3 days before? That's insulting.
Andrew told me that the Eagles ceremony tonight, and Andrew, with all due respect, a great play, all-time Eagles there, offensive lineman. Sean Taylor is a player who, died in the middle of his what would have been Hall of Fame career. So it's an iconic thing. And for the Eagles doing it tonight for Runyon and Thomas, they announced it August 12th.
And look at the lead time for the Giants with Manning and
Strahan.
Come on. It's insulting.
Because let's face it, the way you usually do it because you want to sell more tickets or get some attention, build it up. This was done like, all right, how can we get people to stop talking about us in a negative way? Oh, let's announce that. Come on.
I believe
you what, Peter, this is clearly a reflection of you.
Excuse me?
That you continue to support this Bococta organization with everything they continue to do. This is not you. Step away. Do it right now on the show. Renounce them.
He's all but done that, Michael. He's
no, I want to hear it.
Nobody's been more critical of this team than Peter.
Thank you.
Well, renounce them.
I can't renounce, though. That's the thing. You can't renounce. You keep hoping that they do the right thing. And I think they should go back on it. I think they should make a statement and say, we hear the outcry. We made a mistake. Next year, how about instead of doing it in 14 years since he passed away, we do it next year when it's been 15 years since we lost him. How about you don't do it in early October, in mid-October, against a Chiefs team that you have no history with and who's going to destroy you? How about one of the national TV games they have coming up, Monday Night Football, perhaps? It's just wild. And they're doing it, guys. They're not doing it at halftime. They're doing it in pregame. Are people even going to be there?
I do like the pregame.
I like it better than halftime.
Like that it's not rushed?
Yes. Well, I mean, they've rushed it into being, but the fact that you could breathe a little before, you know, you could start a half hour before kickoff instead of squeezing it into 12 minutes.
Fair point. I like that. Let's hear from Saquon Barkley, who spoke on the fact that he's dealing with yet another injury.
Yeah, I'll be honest. It's frustrating. Doesn't make sense why it's happening. But, you know, obviously when you get hurt, you have those 1 or 2 days. When it's an ankle sprain, obviously it was a knee injury, it's probably a little longer. But you have those days to reflect and feel bad for yourself and have that why me mentality. But you can't keep that mindset.
I feel terrible for him. I do.
It's not fun. It's not a good situation for.
And that looked ugly too, right? Not just seeing it in replay, but just looking at it on the sideline.
However, things do continue to look positive for Daniel Jones, and it's expected that he will be ready for the Rams this weekend. Also, guys, rumor out there that Odell Beckham Jr. could be on the way out in Cleveland. We'll do more on that tomorrow for our special Football Friday ENN, and that will do it for tonight's ENN right here on the K-Show on 98.7 ESPN.
What a show today. Thank you for joining us. Tomorrow, big Football Friday. We have Mike Tannenbaum coming up, Don LaGreca. With the Rangers pregame show for the home opener, and then 7 o'clock we'll have all the play-by-play. And following that, we will pick up, in progress, Dodgers and the Giants, because we're the home for the MLB playoffs and
World Series.
And no Peter pick, right?
Ah! No do Peter. It! Show me something!
See everybody. Enjoy the hockey. We'll talk tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.